because it's relevant, it's relative or relevant to what I'm going to talk about tonight in terms of increase. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Ushers have Bibles. Let's open the Bibles and go over to Genesis and Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. All right, in Genesis chapter 1, the creation of heaven and earth is in Genesis chapter 1. And it starts with, let there be light, and it goes on from there. That light that he's talking about is not sunlight. It's not the sun. The sun didn't come but for a few more chapters down. That's the glory. And let there be light. And first you have to hang the canvas, and then you paint on the canvas. So the glory is the canvas. Now we're painting everything on the canvas. And it goes on down, and it says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Dominion means rulership. It means oversight, means caretakership or stewardship. It also means ownership. So mankind is taking over the responsibility for the earth, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then it says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God created a duplicate of himself. God created a duplicate of himself. Now, all this is very valuable. It's very valuable. See, I can say that, and you look at me just like I didn't say anything, but that is a most powerful statement. God created a duplicate of himself. Man, I mean, that's shouting material, man. I'm a duplicate of God. Okay, let me go on down. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, I want you to notice here that God blessed them, that he empowered them to prosper, to bring forth. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Replenish means to stock with abundance or recover form of fullness, to finish or complete the earth and subdue it. That means to keep it under, tread it down, to keep whatever is in this earth that's trying to bring things out of line, put it back in line, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, this is what God did. Now, in this, God did in creating man and mankind. And verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. To you it shall be for meat. And that word meat there, you can put in your Bible if you haven't, provision. Provision. All right? Now, God was the provider for mankind. So it was never intended for you to bear the weight of your own provision. Never intended for you to bear the weight of your own provision. Now, the thing I want to bring out here is the fact that you and I are under a covenant of increase. You and I are under a covenant of increase. Now, God wants us to increase because part of what our responsibility is to replenish this earth. When God speaks something, He doesn't take it back just because it looks like somebody's not acting right. He leaves it right out there. And this idea of us being to replenish the earth, right now we're teaching on the fact that we're to take the mountains, we're to subdue the spheres of influence, we're to come and restore mankind back to his relationship, his or her relationship with God. So this idea of increase is something that I want you to get in your thinking, because for us to finish the work that he's called us to do, we're going to have increased thinking. We're going to have increased thinking. Now, let's see what I'm saying, what I mean when I say that and why. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 115. Psalm chapter 115. And look at verse 14. 115 verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Now, who is he talking to here? All right. Now, my point to you is that this statement comes from God. You didn't think of this. So this is not something that came as an origin of man's thinking. This came from God. He is saying, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Let's go back to Abraham's life. And let's just look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. All right, look at verse 1. And the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All right, verse 9. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down unto Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So he goes down to Egypt, and down to Egypt, Pharaoh sees his wife. He said, tell him, you're my sister, and so forth. But then Pharaoh soon finds out, and then he puts him out, but he gives him things. Look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Now here's God. Now he's starting to increase Abram. But he said he's going to increase him more and more, he and his children. So now God is going to give Abram some children, because at this point in time, he has no children. He's going to increase him. So now in verse 15, he is saying, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he said to him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Now, he had Abram look at all these stars, and he said, not only are you going to have one child, but this is how many children you're going to have. Now, God's increasing Abraham. And for him to increase, he's going to have to start first working on Abram's thinking. So my point to you is, for you to increase in God, you're going to have to increase in the area of your soul. Stay with me. What I'm saying is, if you're at the same place this year as you were last year. Now, I don't want you to get mad at me as I read these things, because somewhere it might just make you feel a little uncomfortable. But that's good, because now you're about to increase. But look at Genesis chapter 24. Come on, let's look at that first. Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to take my time and go through this, because you need to know this. Genesis chapter 24. Let me know when you get there. All right, look at verse 34. No, let's look at verse 1 first. And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? In all things. Look at verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. This is Eliezer talking now. And the Lord has blessed my master how much? Greatly. And he has become what? Great. And he hath given him what? Flocks, keep going. Herds, keep going. Silver, come on. Gold, come on. Men servants, come on. Maid servant, come on. Camels and asses. Okay, so he's really increased Abram. Now that same covenant, that same blessing is on your life. And you're supposed to increase the same way. Now I want to show you something, because this is key. Now put something in Genesis 26, because we're going to come right back there. Genesis chapter 26. Now let's go over to Proverbs chapter 23. Put something in Genesis chapter 26, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. I figured something out. And we're going to get you some increase. And look at Proverbs chapter 23. See, if you don't have an image of increase, then we can win souls every Sunday. And all these people that we win, how many souls, you know? Now, when you have increase on your mind, your natural way of acting is to increase, is to tell somebody else about what you've got, is to say, hey, you know, my cousin, he came and got saved. Let me see if he wants to go to church this Wednesday. I'm talking about increase now. Now, don't get quiet on me. It's all right. You'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. Look at verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me make a statement. God Amen. There are things that God cannot do for you until you believe. Now, this is very important now. Let's go over. Now, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I know I have you at Genesis 26, but let's verify that statement that I just made. Let's go over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. See, we say the wealth of the sinner is what? Laid up for the just. Well, why is it still laid up? See, and I can guarantee it and tell you why. Because the people who of God don't have increased thinking. You'll see what I'm saying here in just a minute. Now, that's one reason. Of course, there's some other thing. But you can't stay where you are if you think differently. The only reason you're there, now we put it on other people, but the only reason you're still there is because of your thinking. Remember what I said Sunday. No one can keep you from reaching your destiny but you. Didn't we say that? Your mother can't. Your husband can't. Nobody. Kids can't. Republicans can't. Democrats can't. It doesn't make any difference. Government can't. Nobody. Nobody. God made it that way. That is a law. That's a law of confession. Yet no one can keep you. No one can keep you from being a millionaire but you. No one. And the thing that we do is we put it on other people. Well, that's the same thing that the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, that's what they were quick to do. They were quick to blame somebody for it. Do you realize that if you have increased thinking and your thinking is beyond what your church is willing to deliver, that God, I'm looking for the scripture, but God pours water on ground that's thirsty. He will make sure that your thirst gets satisfied. Whether it's in your church or not. He will make somebody come on television. He will do something because he's going to get you what you believe in for. And your pastor can't stop it. Can't stop. Do you hear what I just said? No one can keep you from reaching your destiny but you. You pick out a promise in that Bible and you begin to believe for it, and no one or no circumstances, I'm talking about storms, I'm talking about wars, I'm talking about economic droughts, I'm talking about anything, makes no difference. No one can stop you from reaching your destiny but you. If you take that and meditate it and put it in here, it will bring you out of where you at right now. Now, there are certain things God cannot do for you until you believe. The reason why he made it that way, because if he gives it to you despite what you believe. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who's praying your strength in the Lord. I'm not talking about you in the hospital unconscious and somebody praying you back. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you, because ultimately it's going to be you. If I take you and I take you into a land and that land is beyond what you believe, in other words, your image inside, and I take you beyond that, if I ever loose you, if I ever let you go and take my hands off of you, you'll snap back like a rubber band right back to where you're comfortable. Snap right back. I'll come the next year and you'll be right back where you were because you never believed it. I'm working it tonight. Are you with me? You are under a covenant of increase. God promised you increase. You don't need to beg God for it. He's trying to do it every day, but he cannot work past your belief. In other words, your mind, will, and emotions. If God violated your will, then he could just save you without you wanting to be saved. He can't do that. You have been given a free will. and God wants you rich. He made Abraham how rich? Very rich. And the way he treated Abraham, same way he wants to treat you. You're under the same covenant. All right, let's look at this. This is Matthew chapter what? Chapter 9. Are you with me? Now, part of this is part of what I'm going to talk about tonight, and I'm talking probably most of it right now. But I want you to get this, because we're manifesting the sons of God. But a key to his manifestation, the manifestation of the sons of God in your life, is the fact that you got to think differently. You have to think. It's all out of thinking. God, a person who is not even born again, they all move in the direction of their most dominant thoughts. Okay? Now, watch this. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now, this is two blind men now, crying to Jesus. Verse 28. And when he was come into the house, this is Jesus, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? Underline, believe. You believe that I'm able to do this. What did they say to him? Well, I'll put it in today's language. Yes. Yes, Lord. We believe it. Watch this. Then he touched their eyes. Saying what? Saying what now? According to your what? According to your race? According to your money? See, according to your faith, be it unto you. Notice, he will not go beyond what you believe. See? So the enemy is after your mind. And he knows that even though you're born again, that if your thoughts are contrary to the mind of Christ, that your thinking has still been thinking under the corruption of this world system. If that be the case, he knows that he can still control your life. And a lot of this is not so much being taught, because that's what we got to do. We got to change what we believe, because God cannot work through us except to the degree that we believe. Now, then he touched their eyes, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. Coming over to Mark chapter 11, chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. I wrote a book called what? Transforming Your Mind or Thinking or something like that. Okay. And I wrote it for that reason. Because the problem is not that you're not saved. The problem is not that you don't have a covenant. The problem is our minds have not been renewed. And because of it, God, who's already wanting to make you rich, cannot do it through your life because he can't violate what you believe. Now, this is important now. Because we're not just talking about money. We're talking about everything. We're talking about a good marriage. Folks, an image of a bad marriage was written inside of me. Was written in there. Now, who wrote it? Well, you can always put it on the devil. But it was written by the experiences of my household. See, everything talks. That's why Jesus, the Bible says, when he cursed that fig tree, he answered and said to it, because it's talking. Folks, there's verbal and nonverbal communication. So let's look at this, and I'm going to show you scripture. Look at verse 23. I'm not going to go through all of this. You can read it all yourself. But here's Jesus now. This man brought a boy who had a demon in him, and they couldn't get it out. The disciples couldn't. And here's what Jesus said, verse 23. And Jesus said to him, if thou can what? Believe. Keep going. All things are possible. Keep going. To him that believe. All things. All things. All things are possible to him that believe. So when I had that image of a bad marriage, now understand, now my marriage is increasing. Am I right, baby? All right, my marriage is increasing. I've got to verify this thing up here. But it's getting better and better. I remember when we were a little sensitive about things, she'll say something, and I said, now, why did you say that? Just tell me, why did you say that? Now, why did you say it? Are you following what I'm saying? We don't say it now. We just say, well. Now, I want you to, my wife used to be sensitive. That's something I would not say. Don't touch that. Just leave that right there. Don't touch that. She's not like that anymore. She's increased. Our marriage is looking more and more like heaven every day. All right, go to Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew 15. All right, so what is going on in here? Well, my conscious mind that I have, is that's a mind of purposeful thinking. That's a mind that basically is doing my daily processing. In other words, if I have to get up and come up here, that mind takes over. But if I'm up here talking to you and my foot, I need to twitch my toe, I can do that without even my mind being involved in it, because my subconscious mind is now taking over that part of my life, and without me knowing it, it's conducting responses in my life that I'm not even consciously aware of. But the problem with that is that the subconscious mind conducts 80% of your activity. So if that conscious mind is unrenewed, if it's programmed with an experience that says marriage doesn't get any better, and that image is written inside of here, your image is the thing that conducts your life and causes your life to be like it is. It remember what they said? We're in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers, and so are we in their sight. Now notice what kept them out of Canaan. Did God keep them out of Canaan? No. Did the giants keep them out of Canaan? No, they never fought the giants. What kept them out of Canaan? The image. Your image is what you believe. What you believe is written in your subconscious, and that's your image. And you will go where that image directs. Now, if I need to go somewhere else, I'm gonna have to change the image. Because right now, this image tells me I can't go certain places. Now, your conscious mind, when I read, oh, you're going to be a millionaire. Praise the Lord. But nothing happened. The reason why nothing happened and 2 years, 3 years later, you're still at the same place is because your conscious mind grabbed that. But the subconscious mind, which conducts 80% of your behavior, never got changed. And when it never got changed, you sit in the same place you were economically. But you are under a covenant, come on, of increase. You are under a covenant of increase. You are supposed to be increasing, yes, tomorrow more than you are today. In other words, you're supposed to go from place to place, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from wherever you are to wherever you want to be. You're supposed to continue to increase. But God cannot work through you to bring you into more unless you believe. So if you don't believe it, it'll be a violation for him to do it for you. Yes, sir. Is this making sense to you? Now, I know you're saying, I know all of that, Pastor. Well, It's the only reason I'm going through this whole manifestation of the Son of God. Folks, let me tell you something. I want to build new images in your heart, because God got to work through us. He's got to do some great miracles through us. And we got to be up there where we got to upgrade our thinking. We got to believe just anything. Anything can happen. I told you Sunday, they brought a boy in and he was all deformed and everything. And the man of God said, give me that microphone. He spoke and command healing to that body. Said, give me that microphone. Took that microphone, put it by that body, and that body began to crack. Pop, 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 pop. And as it began to undeform, began to straighten out. And the boy was made whole. Right there in front of all them people. He turned to the people and said, you didn't believe that, did you? Now, you know the man of God believed it, because when you believe, you expect. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's why he could take the mic and put it down there. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about life. You're under a covenant, come on, of increase. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish this earth and subdue it. Are you still with me? Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be what? Shall be what? Shall be rooted up. And what does that mean? Every plant. How did something come into your life? Only one way. It had to be planted. It came in as a seed. It came in as a seed. And the next thing you know, it's growing. Now it's a full tree in the invisible realm, inside of you, producing fruit. Either fruit good to eat, or fruit not fit to eat. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Notice what he said. They were offended. So there are people that, while I'm preaching this, get offended. And they're offended because there's a tree inside of them that Satan has planted. That when they hear something that's liberating, they get offended. So they can't stand my preaching. But that's all right. You can. They got offended. Jesus was preaching the truth. And the truth offends people who've got a tree inside of them that God didn't plant. They get mad at me. And I said, what did I do? Nothing. I told the truth. Satan has something working inside of them. All he says to their minds, get offended. Aren't you mad about that? He even looks like your daddy. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, y'all stay with me now. Yeah, see? You remember that guy, you didn't like that guy, he even looked like that guy you didn't like, remember that? I mean, all kinds of things, you'd be surprised. Offended. So they can't receive it. But every tree that the Father didn't plant, because you're in his family, he has plans to root it out. And that's including a tree that will have you to stay in the same place that you are this year economically as you were 4 years ago. That's a bad tree. And all you have to do is change the tree and you'll change your life. Are you with me?
Yes.
Manifesting the Son of God. It's what you believe. I believe, we started out in the ministry, and I believe that I could pray for people on the phone to get healed. Now, you ask my wife, didn't I do that? Just pray for them on the phone. Why? Ain't no distance in the spirit. Lady was on the phone, couldn't move her hands. She was in Chicago. A lady who called me from Chicago, we were in Minneapolis. And she said, I call you because she can't move her hand. She's got some kind of thing in her hand and so forth, and her skin, and hopefully she could. And all of a sudden, I just prayed. Lady started shouting on the other end, started crying and so forth. She said, I can move my hand. Now, you know, I'm expecting.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm just saying, it's now we got to change what we believe, because the enemy planted all kinds of seeds in us.
Yep.
Why? So we can't go anywhere? So we'll be open to every disease that comes along? I heard a man today say, well, you know, every man got to catch cancer at one point. This man said that's because the physician said it. Okay, what affects your belief? All right, let's go back to that. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 15. Are y'all with me so far?
Yes.
Amen.
We're going to manifest the sons of God.
Amen.
But we got to get these trees out.
That's right.
Root up some of these bad boys, huh? Okay, I'm telling you. Yeah, see, you're supposed to be increasing. If you're not increasing, there's a tree in there somewhere that needs to come out. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, ain't nothing wrong with being a millionaire. I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better.
Amen.
Oh yeah, folks. This man said he had a thing. He wanted to take the word and he wanted to inoculate himself against poison ivy. So he took the word, started confessing the word. He's building an image now. And next thing you know, he touched the poison ivy, tried to bring it down to it. Caught poison ivy, boom, just broke out. And he kept confessing the word again, said, confess again, went out there again, took it around again, broke out again. He said he kept confessing that word and went out there again, started pulling it down, nothing. It's pulling it all down. Think about it. You can develop an image that the life of God pours out of you with such power that you can't even catch leprosy. So you can touch a leper and never get leprosy. It's what you believe. Religion always puts you in a place of non-resistance. Don't ever forget that. That's what religion is. It means religio, back to bondage. That's what it's for. It's for Satan to manage people. Jesus never said, I've come to bring a religion. Ain't no religion in the church. It's life in here. I've come that you may have life. Amen.
Amen.
So, where did I tell you to turn? Okay, so do we understand the tree? Okay. Now, remember what he taught over in Luke chapter 17, he says, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this sycamine tree. Sycamine tree. Now, what's a sycamine tree? A sycamine tree is a tree, a black mulberry tree, they tell me. Now, I was born and raised in Tuskegee, Alabama, and they had mulberry trees. I know it because they had birds in there. We used to take BB guns and shoot them. And now, I don't do it anymore, you bird lovers. But my point to you is black mulberry, and you try to eat them, ain't not fit to eat. So it's a fruit that's not fit to eat, a tree that's bringing forth fruit that's not fit to eat. So that tree needs to come up. So if you had faith as a seed, you'd say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted into the sea, and it shall obey you. What will obey you? This tree, because of your faith. So when you get that word of God, you know there's a tree in your life that shouldn't be in there. You find you a promise that promises you something that is contrary to that behavior, that tree that's inside, and begin to confess it.
Amen.
The law of confession will dig it out.
Yes, sure will. That's it.
Folks, people are not in prison who are down at Cook County. There are people in prison sitting up in churches.
Amen.
Because that tree won't let them go any further.
Yes.
And then when you tell them something different, I don't know where that preacher come from. I'm getting out of here. And that you're telling them what it'll take to make them free. The truth. All right, let's just look at that. Are y'all with me so far? I'm just giving you this because you might have some situations at your house. You might have some situations with your body. You might have some situations with your education, with your school, with your kids. You might have some situations and so forth. It doesn't make any difference. There's an answer in that Bible to every situation you will have in life. And it's not the devil. I'm telling you, he planted the seed. He's messing with somebody else now. It's the tree that's doing the work in your life. It's not him. And a lot of times we put it on, well, the devil stopped me. He didn't stop you. He planted a seed 15 years ago that's stopping you. Isn't it something? Every tree that our Heavenly Father has not planted in your life, if you let the Holy Ghost lead you, it will be rooted up. It will be rooted up. Can I go just a step further?
Yes.
Now, is this y'all offended or y'all okay? All right. All right, let's go a step further. Now, what did I tell you? Genesis chapter 15, right? All right, now I want to change the image inside. I want to transform my thinking because I got to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of my mind. So the renewing of my mind has not to do with my conscious mind, because that's my purposeful thinking. That's the thinking that says, well, I'm going to put my hand on this chair and so forth and so on. But the subconscious part, the part that's really guiding my life, I've got to renew that. And I've got to renew it to line up with the Word of God. All right? Now, there are ways that it got programmed. And one of the ways that it got programmed is through authority figures. People who you respect said things or did things in your life that wrote it into your subconscious. They wrote it in there. Girl, I told you, you're not going to ever be anything. Didn't I tell you that? Yeah, see that. Now they think they're trying to discipline you. But what they did is they're busy writing something. Not going to ever be anything. Now you're struggling trying to be something. Just struggling trying to be something. Are you hear what I'm saying now?
Yes.
And it's because of the tree inside. The devil don't have nothing to do with it. It's the tree inside. See? And poverty has nothing to do with color. Don't ever forget that. It's just the people who have certain color have had most of the poverty because it was written through the generations. See? But once you become a kingdom citizen, now your daddy is rich. I know mine is. Say amen. All right, so one way is authority figures. Another way is repetition. And that's why on television, you see it playing over and over again. Have a Coke, have a Coke. Have a Coke. Have a Coke. Coca-Cola is what you want to have. And Coca-Cola. So you look at that enough, and when you get to the grocery store, without you really being aware of it, you looking at the Cokes. Oh, boy. Man, I think I want one. And it has affected your own desire. All of a sudden, you can't turn a Coke down. Do you hear what I'm telling you? That's repetition. Over, 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 over. The world knows it, and that's what they use on television. all the time. Got it? So, what is that I hear?
It's like some static in the back.
Is that coming through my mic?
Sound like it's back that way. It's in the back.
Ooh. Hey, listen. That's what happened to me when I was a little kid. And we used to have 10-cent movies or 15-cent movies on Sunday that the movie house opened up for 15-cent kiddie shows. But they're kiddie shows, all right. They showed one Western and one horror. And I'd sit through about 6 or 7 episodes of each. I'd get all the worth out of my 15 cents that I could. I would sit right there. Well, by the time I finish, I'm going home. Now, I've seen enough Wolfman in Frankenstein. Understand, repetition. And I'd go home, get into bed. We had a double bed. My brother would be on the top, or I'd be on the bottom or on the top. And the light would go out there, turn the light out, and close the door. And then my brother. Ooh. Now, because I've sat through so much of that, now I'm seeing a hand come through the wall. That's the truth. It would terrorize me. Okay, let me get back to this here. Are you with me? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That will not be violated. God won't violate it. He wrote it. Okay? So if you are where you are, it's because of your thinking. So if we can fix your thinking, we can change where you are. Now we're talking about how to fix the thinking. Look at Genesis chapter 15. All right, Genesis chapter 15. Ooh. I'm telling you, man, I would fight that. I would say, I'm not going to get scared. I am not going to get scared. I'm not afraid. I'd be saying it to myself, I'm not afraid. And then all of a sudden, he hit that thing just right. Ooh. And I said, I'd call out, Dad! And he'd come in there and whip both of us. But at least he shut up. At least I'd got him off my back. Okay, now look what it says here in Genesis chapter 15. All right, look what God did to affect Abram's thinking. Look what he did. Verse 3, and Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, What? Look now to where? Heaven. What time was it, day or night? Come on. What time was it? And tell the what? Stars, if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall your seed be. So what did God do to Abram to transform his mind? I just think it's somebody either doing some work or something. Because I don't think that's my microphone. I don't think. Well, let me just finish this. Okay. All right. So what did he do to change Abram's belief? What did he do with it? He painted an image. He took a picture and painted a picture for him. At that time, there's no canvas or whatever, so he used the stars. He used the canvas of the nature of God. He used that. He told him to look at that. Now, that's his faith prop. See? That's his prop. Sometimes you might take a picture of the car that you want and put it up on the refrigerator. Come on, these are faith props. What are you doing? You're just changing your thinking here. You got what I'm saying? So he had him to look at the stars at night and the grains of sand at day. And each time he would remember what God said. Now, what is he doing? It's a form of meditation. So meditation is a way of transforming your thinking to line up with God's word, God's will for your life. Meditation is. So most people take the word of God that I speak and they go home and listen to maybe one tape or one time, so forth. Folks, I have tapes that I'm still playing back from Charles Capps. That's got to be at least 25 years ago. I'm still listening to them. I pull them out every now and then, play that thing over again. Boy, look at that part right there. Back it up, play that thing again. Back it up, play that thing again, see? I keep my tape player because they hear tapes back there. You know, technology's going up now. But you know what? I'm meditating on it. Why? I'm increasing. I'm increasing. Okay? So that's where I am. Now, okay, so let's take another place and let's see how God transformed their thinking. Turn to Acts and Acts chapter 10. I'm still manifesting the sons of God now, but we've got to change our minds so that God can work through us. Acts chapter 10. Are you with me? Now, notice what I'm doing. I'm getting you off of depending on other people, but off of complaining about other folk. Other people are not your problem. Your problem is your image. And if you can get the right image, nobody can stop you. You can get to your destiny of whatever you desire with independent of them. If they won't cooperate, somebody will. If they won't cooperate, somebody will. One more time. If they won't cooperate, somebody will. All right. Now, I told you to turn to Acts chapter 10. Can I listen? It's just two more scriptures I want to show you. So, Acts chapter 10, let's look at that one. Now, this is where Peter, now, I tell you what, to save time here, because I need to save some time. Wow. This is when Peter was told by God, God was going to have him to go up to Cornelius' house. But the problem with that is Cornelius was a Gentile. Peter was a Jew. And as far as he knew, the covenant and the word of God was only for the Jew. Got it? But God is now getting Peter to do a new thing. So what did he do? All of a sudden, some sheets came down from heaven. And they had all kinds of beasts in it, four-footed beasts. And a voice says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now understand, Peter's up on the housetop, fell into a trance, and all of a sudden he saw the vision, the sheet come down. Something said, "Arise, kill and eat," sight and sound. And the movies use that today. And next thing you know, he said, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. And the voice said, "What I've called clean, don't you call unclean." Now what was he referring to? People. Because the Jews called the Gentiles unclean. Got it? So the voice told him, "What I've called clean, don't you call unclean." Then it did it three times. Got it? Now, next thing you know, here comes a runner to the house and told Peter, "Hey, we want you to go back up to Joppa to tell this and preach the word of God to this centurion, and God sent us down here to get you," or whatever have you. And Peter got up, got his boys, went up there, went in the house and preached, and the Spirit of God fell. People got filled with the Holy Ghost. They baptized him, so forth and so on. But look how that happened. He had to change his mind. So God won't take you past your mind. You must see this. All right, one more place. Genesis chapter 30, please. 30. Are we okay? I really want the church to see this because this is the most significant part after you get born again and understand faith. This is the most significant part of what you should learn because your mind now becomes to peace that you got to get lined up, your mind. And it's all right. I mean, that's why you're here. We're here to teach you. Teaching gives understanding. That changes your mind. Okay? And I pray that I could preach one time a message, and one time through the Holy Ghost working through me, it'll pull down every stronghold in somebody's mind. And they'll be changed in one message. In one message. Matter of fact, you're going to increase from now on. In the name of Jesus, I command increase to come in your life from now on. All right? Genesis chapter 30, let me know when you get there, please. All right, look what happened here. Here is a man named Jacob working for a man named Laban. Well, what is Laban? He's a wicked boss. And Laban is just ripping Jacob off. And so next thing you know, now Laban, Jacob comes to Laban and says, hey, wait a minute. Let's make a deal here. Verse 30. This is Jacob talking. For it was little which you had before I came. And it is now what? Increased into a multitude. And the Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also? And he said, what then shall I give you? And Jacob said, don't give me a thing. If you'll do this thing for me, I'll again feed and keep your flock. I'm going to pass through all the flock today, removing from thence all that are speckled spotted and spotted cattle, and all that are brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. In other words, that's going to be my portion. So shall my righteousness answer for me in the time to come, when it shall come forth my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, or brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to your word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them to the hand, into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flock in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked and all the brown and of the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not in Laban's cattle. And it came to pass when whatsoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. And the man, what? Increased how much? Exceedingly, and had much what? Cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. Now that sounds like his daddy or granddaddy. Look at verse 1 of chapter 31. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of all of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. Now how much of Laban's did Jacob take? All of it. Come on down to verse 9. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked, speckled, and gristled, or striped. And the angel of God spake to me in a what? Dream, saying what? Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now your what? Eyes, and do what? See. All the rams which leap upon the cattle were ring-straked, speckled, and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban has done to you. Lord, have mercy. Now, stay with me just a minute. Let me just finish that up. One of the ways that God transforms your belief is through a dream. A dream creates what is called a spiritual experience. Question. Have you ever had a nightmare?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. When you woke up, what was your heart rate? It had elevated. Question. Had you gotten up out of the bed?
Nope.
But you were running in that dream or something, whatever. Notice some wake up in a sweat. You got it? Why? Because your mind told your body that you were in a bad situation. And you weren't. You didn't leave that bed. Notice how your mind can govern something that's on the outside of you. Your mind told you that. You ain't going anywhere. Now that's called a spiritual experience. And when that happens, it tries to write it on your subconscious. So when you have the dream over and over again, Jacob had his dream over, Joseph had his dream, so forth. The thing came down three times for Paul and so forth and so on. Notice what happened. It changed their belief. So how can I do it without a dream? I can create a spiritual experience by the word called meditation.
Amen.
And it'll do the same thing for me. It'll transform my thinking. All of a sudden, where I was broke, I'm never going to be broke another day in my life. I will never be broke another day in my life. I will never be broke. There ain't enough bad economy that can break me.
That's right, Pastor.
They call me and ask me about the church. Well, Pastor, how's your church doing? Yeah, thank you. Amen. Let me come over here. She's preaching. That's all right. That's all right. But yeah. I got asked that the other night. I've been asking that. Are you experiencing significant decrease? No, that is not even a part of my thinking. Are you following what I'm saying? And it's not because I'm so this or so that. It's just that I'm thinking different. And I want to bring you into that because the economy might continue to go down. Folks, I don't think we've reached the bottom quite yet. Well, if that be the case, don't you go down with it. Because you are under a covenant of
increase.
And how much is God going to increase you?
More and more.
More. You and your children. I like that. Put the whole family in there. Praise God. But I need my kids to increase. All right. Now, I wanted to go through that because we're at a time right now that you need to unhook from the systems of the world. God is your source and your supply. Watch this. If it's not there, God will create it. He will create it. Why? Because the idea about it is He promised you that and He will deliver. He will deliver. And that's for you. So in my life, whatever area I feel deficiency, I go into the Word of God and get a promise that promised to be something totally different, and I begin to meditate it. So, Lord, will increase more and more? I used to say it maybe 15 times in the morning, right quick. Just say it. Just get it in my system, so forth. And now I don't say it hardly any at all now. It's just in me now. It's just in me. So when the economy goes down, it's just like cruise control. The accelerator automatically begins to, are you following what I'm saying? How many of y'all got a car with cruise control in it? Okay. How many of y'all got a car? Okay. Well, that's all right. Amen. There's one in the Bible. Amen. Get you one. Get you two of them. Yes. Paid for. Yes. All right. Let me, before we do something, any questions about what I just said? Any questions about what I just said? You got a question? You got a question? Okay. Any questions about what I just said? I want this to sink in. I want this to be more than me preaching something. I want you to increase. I want this to go into your spirit for you to increase. All right? I got a microphone. Where's my microphone, folk? Okay? Give me that microphone right there. I'm going to turn these Wednesday nights into a real teaching session. Right here, right there. Put your hand up so he can see it. All right.
God bless you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
I love the teaching, and what I've been trying to meditate on is it seems that like from poverty to riches, like from A to Z, the process in between, though, can you expound on that?
Okay.
What
All
we
right.
should
okay.
expect?
Right. Okay. Now, here's me. When you begin to meditate the Word of God, meditation means it means a continual muttering of the Word, or it can mean you read the Scripture every day a couple of times, you think about it during the day sometimes, so forth and so on. I read a Scripture over in Psalms that says, I meditate day and night. Okay? So when I put it in here, sometimes I put it in at nighttime. And while I'm asleep, it's continuing to work inside. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, you remember the little cards that you all made up in foundation class? Same principle. That's why we give them to you. Same principle. It'll just change your life. It doesn't care. I don't care who you are or where you are. What you can be in jail and take these scriptures and meditate it and get the benefit of it. If you're in jail, it'll get you released. Really? That's how powerful this thing is. It whatever it says, it'll produce. Okay. See. And so what I do is I don't set out to do some act like a robot. And say, okay, say, I read it in the morning, say it a couple of times and so forth and so on, because I got all these cards. Hold it. Where's my bag? Put it here. Okay. All right. Well, here's my little pouch. Okay. All right. Go out of here. Okay. And here's my book, Charles Capps. Okay, all right. Amen. Then here's my cards. Okay, all right. Let me see. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, note what I'm doing there. Why would I want that scripture in here? Why would I want that scripture in here? Let's just think now. Why would I want that scripture inside of me? Why would I want an image of my God supplying all my need? Why? Because it keeps me from putting pressure on people. People are not my source. And it keeps me ever focused to him that he's my source. When you are not in faith, you always put pressure on people. Don't ever forget that. That's one of the reasons you can tell you're not in faith, because the flesh comes out. Look, oh, here's another one. The Lord shall increase me more and more, me and my children. Here's another one. He's given me the lands of the heathen, and I've inherited the labor of the people. Watch this. Father, I thank you. I added a little bit to it. Thank you for my Gulfstream 4. That's a $34 million airplane. Watch this. My Gulfstream 5, that's a $55 million airplane. My BBJ, Boeing Business Jet, that's about a $55, $65 million airplane. And my 777. Why? Because in the end, I'd like to take a whole group of people from the church over to Africa for a week and come back. And why not? If it's out there and I can have it, why not get it? See? And it's manifested. I said manifested. All right? Watch this one. Every place the soles of my foot shall tread upon. Ooh-wee, this is good stuff here. See, your labor is not at the job. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Because your provisions are provided by your Father. So your labor is in the Word. Y'all with me? So here it is. So something come in my life, I just pull out my cards. You know what I mean? Something comes on my body and so forth and so on, I pull out my cards. Here's one now, I'm confessing one on overeating. Yeah, because I got to renew my mind to that. You go to restaurants and they put all this food on there. I mean, who can eat all of that? I mean, I say, oh, this man, I can eat all of that. Are you following what I'm saying? So now it says here, I don't desire to eat so much that I become overweight. Now that's somebody here. Come on now. Whatever's in your life, that's a tree that God didn't plant. Use your mouth and get it out. Get it out. That answered that question. One more question. That over here. Okay. How we doing? We doing okay?
Yes.
Now this is what I'm talking about, because I want you to prosper. Just pass it right on down the aisle. I want you to prosper. Yes, ma'am.
Pastor, I want to know, you said the first part on how to fix your thinking was, no, the second one was repetition. What was the first one again?
The first one was authority figures. I said, what affects your thinking is authority figures. Now watch this, I'm going to give you four. Authority figures, repetition. You ready? Experiences. If you are turning a corner and have an accident on that corner, I guarantee you, that'll be written inside, and every time you get to that corner, you'll slow down. And you'll do it subconsciously. Why? Because you just had that experience. So think about people who've had a bad experience with a relationship. That's got to be rooted out, folks. Next thing you know, I don't trust no man anyway. Well, watch out now, because Jesus was a man. See, and you transferring that to him. No wonder you can't get nothing. Okay, that's enough. Are we all right? We okay? Okay. And the last one is exposure, your environment. What have you been living in and around, and how they've been living? And you look at your family's life. Let's look at your mother's life or something. You were living there with them for a long time. Now you got your life. Well, look how much of your life seems to be a duplicate of their life. Why? Because that's written inside of you. My dad had so much junk in the trunk of his car that you couldn't even find a spare. And I asked him, I said, Dad, why is all this in here? Son, you never know what you might need. And now, this was his opinion now. Are you following what I'm saying? So the next thing I know, I got my car. And the next thing I know, I lifted up one day and I couldn't find the spare. I said, man, all this junk in here. Hey, I saw something. I'm picking up some old bad habits here. Where are they? They're in my belief system. They're coming out. Got it? So that's where it is. And you'll find that you have people and you used to a car that you know, you tell somebody to go move your car and they say, well, now when you get in it, now you start it up. Now understand, if that light starts flashing, just ignore it. And this over here, now it doesn't work too good. Now this right here, the light, to turn it on, just you can't just pull it. You got to hit the dashboard and so forth. Now understand, they're living like that because that's written in there. That's why they said in your house, if you have something that's broke, either fix it or throw it out. Because it'll grow, it'll talk to you, and it'll write something in your spirit. Is this making sense to you?
Yeah.
You're under a covenant, come on,
of increase.
and God is increasing you more and more, you and your children. That's all we got. Can you give the Lord a praise for that? All right. We want to take up our, receive our offering for tonight, please, before you leave. And so do we have some music that we can? Hey, thank you. Amen.